Amen. Glory to God. Go with me to John chapter 16 and verse 33. Praise God. Let me just say something. I'm not trying to be sensational. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. And I'm not trying to just get your attention. But today might be the most important message that I've ever preached in the 8 years that I've been a pastor at this church. And I'm not just saying that. It's the truth. Today, we go forward. And today, we lay down the path of which way the church is going to go. And everybody can decide if they want to go with. Amen? Because the path of the direction that we're going and that we're driving this bus is not going to change. And so today might be the most important message that I've ever preached in this church. And so we're going to believe God for utterance. We're going to believe God for boldness. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. We glorify and magnify you. Father, help us to say what you want said. Father, we're not interested in man's opinions, man's ideas, man's philosophies, or man's theories, or man's thoughts. We want the thoughts of God. We want the will of God. So, Father, help us this morning. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would speak with boldness and utterance exactly what you want said. Father, I am humbled to stand before such precious people. People, Father, that I love and care for. People that I pray for. People I give my life for. Father, to be able to preach your word to them is such an honor and a joy. So, Father, help me this morning. Lord, they need a move from heaven. They don't need Mike Anderson. So, Father, speak through me. And we thank you. We'll get words from the Holy Ghost this morning. And they will strike a chord in every single person's heart. And it'll be for the purposes of growing. For the purposes of bettering their life. So, Father, give them ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. And, Lord, we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on these next three references that I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to bring out a point. It'll be our foundation from which we set sail forth from today. In John 16 and verse 33, it says, "These things have I, Jesus, spoken unto you, that in me," everybody say, "in me." So he's saying in me, not talking about me, but he's talking about himself. I'm talking as Jesus is. Jesus says, in me, you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But the point is this. Jesus said, in him is where the peace is found. You know, for years... For years, you know, I talk about my big five, you know, of before I was with Jesus. Talk about my big five of what? Gambling, drugs, alcohol, depression, and promiscuous living. Amen. I've been open about that. My pre-Jesus days. I like when people try to drag it up and bring my pre-Jesus days into my pastor post-Jesus days, and it's just not true. But my pre-Jesus days, that's what it was filled with. And I tried to fill the void with all those things. And the only thing that ever came in and filled the void for me was Jesus. You can chase after all the things, but he said, in him is where the peace is found. Amen? Now go with me real quick to John chapter 10 and verse 10. So go back a little ways. We know these verses, but again, you'll see where we're going. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I..." Again, he's pointing to himself. He said, "I have come that they might have life." That word life is the word Zoe. It means the God kind of life. Or life as God enjoys it. Abundant living. Amen? Peace, prosperity, joy, victory. All that God offers his children. He says, "I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly." So he says, peace has to go through him. Abundant life or Zoe kind of life. He said, it has to go through him. He said, "I'm bringing it to you. If you want it, you got to go through me." Now go with me to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Praise the Lord. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way." He tells us right off the bat which way to go. He takes the confusion out of it. He takes the wondering out of it. He says, if you're wondering which way you should go, go the way of me. Amen. He says, my way is the truth and the life. Well, that word life, there's the same word in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Zoe. He said, if you want to get to Zoe life, you got to go my way. Yeah. Amen? So we know this. So this isn't nothing that's groundbreaking or earth-shattering revelation, but it's where we need to start today, because we've just laid the groundwork that perfect peace is only available through Him. Abundant or Zoe life is only available through Him. Amen. That victorious, supernatural, abundant life that only God can offer you. You know the kind of life that causes all the same tests and trials that the world goes through that come against you, but causes you to walk over those things and to come out the other side smelling so good and looking so much better? That's the life that He offers you, the supernatural life. But with that being said, let's bring it down and let's get going here. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Because Jesus said, in me you'll have peace. Jesus said, in me you'll have abundant life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But ladies and gentlemen, we shout and we get excited about that, but we better know who the true Jesus is.
Amen?
Amen? The true Jesus. And we're going to point Him out today. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. This is the Word. And the Word was with God. But then it goes on to say, and the Word was God.
Amen?
Amen? This book is Him. From the front page to the back page, it's Him. And so the Bible says the Word is God. Now if you go to verse 14, it says, and the Word, now remember, what's the Word? The Word is God. Amen? Did you see that there in John chapter 1 and verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word and God are not separate. They're one. They're the same thing. But then it says in verse 14, and the Word, which the Word was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, what's that? Jesus. People say, I want to know what God's doing. I want to know what God's take is on things. Just look at Jesus, 3.5 years of ministry. It was God demonstrated. Jesus on the earth was God in the flesh, demonstrating who His Father was. The Word, or God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. So here's what I'm saying. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, but the Word became flesh. That means that Jesus is the Word.
Amen.
Okay? So Jesus is the Word. From the front page to the back page is Him. Now, why is that important? Because He said, in me you'll have peace. Well, what is Him? The Word. In me you'll have abundant life. That's the Word. Amen. But here's the thing. It's not enough to just know that Jesus is mine, because the majority of Christians, how do I know? I've been places. I've been in other churches. She came from other churches. You've told me about your other churches. You've told me about family and friends. There are Christians who are going to heaven, born again, and their life is hell on earth. But wait a minute. I thought if you had Jesus, that you have that abundant, victorious, peace type of victorious life. No. Because a lot of Christians want to live however they want, keep Jesus on the shelf. When hell breaks loose in their life from their actions, they want to pull Jesus off the shelf and fix my problems. That's not who Jesus is. That's not the ministry of Jesus. Jesus is the Word. If you want abundant life through Him, it's not enough to just be born again. Born again gets you salvation. It gets you into heaven, praise God. But I know a lot of Christians who are going to heaven, and their lives aren't peaceful. It's chaos. It's strife. It's torment. It's sickness nonstop. It's crisis nonstop. It's drama nonstop. That's not abundant peace life. It's just not. But He said it's available through Him. Well, what's Him? The Word. You have to go through the Word to get these things. Now, let me bring it even clearer. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. Praise God. He said in James chapter 1 towards the end of the Bible there. In verse 22, he said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. So it's not enough to just say Jesus is the word and I have Jesus. No, if Jesus is the word, you got to do the word. Be hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But, verse 25 says, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. Let me stop right there and just tell you. Jesus is perfect. The word is perfect. And the Bible tells us here that the word of God is perfection. Amen. From the front page to the back, when God said to do something, he knew what he was talking about because he is perfection. He is the word. And the Bible says that the word is the perfect law of liberty. It doesn't matter if people agree with it or disagree with it. It's perfect. Amen. It's everything you could ever need and everything you could ever want. But here's what I want you to see. Go to verse 25 again. Here we are. Whosoever looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Notice the continuing. Not a falling away, a continuing. But he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. Everybody say doer. It's not popular in 2018 to say that a Christian actually has to do something. But the word says if you're a doer of the word, then this man will be blessed in his deed. It's not the person that received Jesus, leaves him on the shelf, and hears what the word says to do with their money, what the word says to do with their kids, what the word says to do with forgiveness, what the word says to do about a pastor, what the word says to do about a love walk. It's not about just hearing it. It's about doing it. And that's where there's a great loss and miss in the body of Christ. And I'm not even talking about doing the word today. Say, what are we going to talk about? Well, here's what you need to know. Jesus said, in me, you'll have peace. In me, you'll have abundant life. But we found out that he's the word. And we just found out that it's not just knowing Jesus or hearing about Jesus. You got to do what Jesus says to do. And so now are you ready to go? Here we go. This church, this pastor, is going the way of the Word of God. But this is what you need to know, and I'm going to show you and back it all up by the Bible today. The true ministry of the Word and the true ministry of Jesus is not a popular stance. It's very unpopular, and it comes with criticism, and it comes with slander, and it comes with yip, yap, yip, yap, yip, yap, and it comes with people coming against you, and it comes with persecution. You're going to see it today. Because if you want to go the true way of Jesus, amen, you're going to find out that the majority of people, by the word, don't go that way. The crowds do not flock to the true ministry of Jesus. They do until they hear what Jesus has to say. And again, don't take my word for it. Take the Bible's. But why am I telling you this? Because if you don't know this, when you see and I'm going to give you, the Lord gave me a vision in my spirit when I was on this trip in Florida. It was amazing. Where he put me and what I saw was, it was glorious. I don't want to get ahead of myself and tell you what that was here yet. But if you don't know that the word, a life of living the word, comes with persecution, comes with tests, and comes with trials, if you don't know, and you don't know that it's not popular, because how many of you know, there's places, they have the buildings. They have the worship team. They have the crowds in the parking lot. I'm going to show you something about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And don't twist my words and say that Pastor Mike said Family Church South Dayton is the only place preaching the word. Didn't say that. But there's plenty of them that aren't. Amen? But I'm going to show you some things today. You need to know this so you don't get swayed. When the heat gets rising and the word gets attested you, you're going to see that's not popular. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Let's start. Let's just go. Praise God. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Because if you think this pastor is going to compromise and give in to pressure of the world and the media and news and what people say, you are fooling yourselves. I'm going to bring it hotter and harder and louder than ever before. And I'm going to stand up and shout it from the rooftops. Because I have to stand before him someday, not you. And you have to stand before him someday. Oh, if people would get that, it would sober them up. And I don't mean from drinking. I'm not saying, I don't mean that. I'm just saying you live a sober lifestyle. Wow. I got to stand before Jesus. I might not better not do that anymore. I might better want to shut my mouth. I got to stand before Him and give account of every word I said. Amen. The truth. I'm just trying to help you before you get there. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Look what it says. Oh, this way of Jesus. You know, people love the Jesus that sweeps in and's a crutch for them that smooths over every single problem in their life. They love that Jesus. But let's look at who Jesus truly is in the Bible. Amen. Anything and everything can call themselves a Christian. They do. Anything and anything calls themselves a Christian anymore. Matthew 7 and verse 13 says, enter in at the straight gate. This is Jesus talking. For wide is the gate, and broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Now look at this. And many there be which go in thereat. So he says, one translation said, many find the wide or the broad gate of destruction. Now, we oftentimes look at this portion of Scripture in terms of eternity. That wide is the gate that leads to destruction and hell, but narrow is the gate that leads to heaven and few people find it. And that's true. That's applicable. You can look at in the world's population of Christians versus non-Christians. Non-Christians far outweigh Christians. So that's true in that sense. But it's not the only way you can apply that verse. Because doesn't it say in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is what? Death. Well, it's not just talking about a natural flatlining death. It's talking about things dying in your life. Your finances getting bad. Your body's breaking down, right? Your mind breaking down. Death and destruction come in many forms. Amen? Amen. And he said the wages of sin is death. Now, what is sin? We like to think what we know sin is, and we put labels on sin. Sin is simple. All sin is just disobedience to what God said. If God said it in His Word and you're not doing it, that's sin. You keep doing that, it leads to death. Well, the same thing. If God says something in your heart, speaks to your heart, you can't find a specific... For example, God says, hey, slow down on the cheeseburgers.
Come on.
I'm just giving you an example. And you don't. Well, that's going to lead to something because He told you. The wages of sin. So here's my point. Jesus said, enter in. Because the wide is the gate that leads to destruction. What's He saying? What's the way to keep out of destruction? Doing the Word. The wages of sin is death. Well, what? How do you get to death? By not obeying God. Well, obeying God is doing the Word. You'll be blessed in your deed. So what's He saying in verse 14? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. There's that word life again, that word zoe, the abundant heaven kind of life. He says, narrow is that gate, and few find that. Well, that's why I already told you. The majority of Christians are not walking in abundant life. They're not walking in the peace, joy, and victory. A lot of Christians I know personally are going through hell on earth, but they're Jesus's. Well, He said, the way to life is narrow. Why? Because the way to get to that life is through the doing of the Word. That's not popular. Say, what do you mean not doing the Word's not popular? I'll show you. Go to Mark chapter 4. Praise God. So He says that the majority of people are not going to walk in this abundant life. Why? Because the way to abundant life is through the doing of the Word. And it's not popular in 2018 to preach the uncompromised Word. And it certainly isn't popular for people to do the uncompromised Word. Okay, well that's fine. You have what you want, but I'm telling you which way I'm going. Amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. Now, because of time's sake, I won't read the whole passage. I'll just kind of give you an idea of what it is. And you can go back and study it on your own. But Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. Now, it goes on and it talks about, so Jesus is talking about the sower sowing the word. What am I doing right now? I'm sowing the word of God. Amen. Preachers sowing the word of God to people. If you go on and read the story, or the little sermon here that Jesus preached, He said there's four types of people that hear God's word. You can read this yourself. Four types of people that hear the word. So most of the time, people that are hearing the word are Christians. The sinner is not dying to hear the word. They're not, oh, let's do something on a Friday night. Let's go hear the Bible. So the hearers of the word, He's talking about His people here. He said, the sower sows the word. It falls on four types of people. Four types. And he likens the people to ground. Did you know that you're a dirt bag? I mean, the Bible says you're ground, right? You put seed in the dirt, right? That's a compliment from Jesus. Amen. Huh? I say that tongue in cheek. Oh, someone will twist that. And, oh, Pastor Mike calls his people in his church names. You watch. They'll say it. They will. He's a name caller. Yeah. And so the sower sows the word. It falls on four types of ground. But here's the thing you need to realize is that he says the first one, two, three types of people that hear the word don't do anything or get anything out of it. He says one out of four, 25% of all people that hear it get anything out of it. What's that mean? 75%, bigger majority, are people that get nothing out of it. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the one that leads to destruction. Why? Because you got to do the word to get to life. And 75% of people won't do it. The word is not popular. Now again, you say the word, what's the word? Everything in the book. Jesus isn't the Jesus that you pick and choose for him to be. He's everything in this book, whether you like it or not. And he said you got to go through him, the whole word of God. Now go with John chapter 6 and verse 59. The word isn't popular. Jesus said that it's a wide gate of people that won't do the word and lead to destruction. Jesus said only one-fourth of the people that hear it will do it. Well, look at John chapter 6 and verse 59. John chapter 6 and verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue. So where is he? He's church. He's talking to church people. Amen? Well, what's he saying in the synagogue? He's preaching the word of God. That's what he did. Every time Jesus opened his mouth, that was the word. Because he is the word. So now look at this, verse 59. This said he these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now look at this. Many, therefore, of his disciples. Disciples. That's people that were with him. Going his direction. When they heard this. You can go back and study the sermon. It doesn't matter what he preached. It was the word. It doesn't matter what he said. We know whatever he said is perfect. Many, therefore, of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear this? Oh, does that sound familiar? Yeah. I've had people, Pastor, you say forgive. You don't know what they did to me. How dare you? I said, I didn't say forgive. Jesus said forgive. Oh, that was a hard thing for them. You want me to tithe? Do you know what my financial situation is? I said, I didn't tell you to tithe. I didn't tell you to tithe. The Word told you to tithe. I'm sorry it was hard for you to hear that. Pastor, you're telling me to walk in love? Do you know what they do to me? No, I'm not telling you to walk in love. The Bible's telling you to walk in love. I had someone one time on the phone say to me, they said, you told me, they brought up a past situation, you're telling me to forgive? You're telling me to forgive? I said, did I tell you to forgive? Yeah, you're telling me to forgive. It's unreasonable. I said, wait a minute, I didn't tell you to forgive. Jesus told you to forgive. They said, nope. You told me to forgive, and I asked them again, did I tell you to forgive? No. Yeah, or yeah, you told me to forgive. This is you. You're a bad pastor. I said, did I tell you to give it to Jesus? And they again answered, you told me to forgive. I said, Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anybody, forgive them. Anything against anybody. That means no matter how bad you are hurt, no matter how bad you are wronged, the only response you have that's warranted by Jesus is forgiveness. Amen. Not running your yap about people. Yeah, glory to God. Woo! Praise Lord. He said, forgive. I'm sorry that was hard for you to hear that, he said. This is hard. Look what Jesus said in verse 61. When Jesus knew himself, the disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, I'm so sorry. I will change my message. And we'll tiptoe through the daisies and the tulips. And we'll avoid the hard things. Come on. He said, does this offend you? Come on. I love him.
It's so good.
Does this offend you? Oh, I guess the word can offend people.
Come on.
Ooh, it does too. Does this offend you? So then he goes on preaching the word. He didn't stop preaching the word. Kept going with the word.
Hallelujah.
Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, you could look at that from the outside and see, my God, Jesus' church just shrunk. And the thoughts of the flesh and the rumors and the talks would be, what did he do? What is going on in that church? The word's being preached in that church. And the Bible says that many will walk away because they can't handle the word of God. They did it to Jesus, they'll do it to us. It's just the truth. I'm trying to show you that this way, if we're going to make a way, we're going the word way, just don't be surprised when people fall away. Don't be surprised when all of a sudden people don't show up. Don't be surprised. They did it to him. Now look at this. I love it. From that time, many disciples walked back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, verse 67, oh my gosh, I just lost most of my church. I only got 12 left. How are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to do this? People are going to talk about me. People are going to think we're not doing it. He didn't say, boys, okay, we got to change this message. We got to go back out and tell people we're sorry and we got to apologize for preaching. No, he said, are you going to go too?
Yeah.
He said, will you go away too? He didn't care.
So good.
Remember what Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14? Actually, go ahead and pull that up, Michelle. Matthew 10 and verse 14, if you would. And I'm going to show you what the Lord showed me when I was in Florida. My Florida vision, praise God. Matthew 10 and verse 14. Look what Jesus said. Actually, if you go to verse 12, Michelle, go back to verse 12, that would be helpful. Matthew 10 and verse 12. This is what Jesus instructed his disciples. When you come into a house, salute it. And the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And look at this. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words. What do you think the words of the disciples were? The Bible. They're preachers of the word. He said, whoever shall not receive you or hear your words, when you depart out of that city, oh, I love it, shake the dust off your feet. What's he saying? Water off a duck's back, keep going.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Nancy Dufresne said, pastoring's like being a bus driver. Some get on, some get off. Keep driving the bus. Keep driving the bus.
Right.
Amen. Jesus said, shake it off your feet. Don't go back and apologize. Don't try to change the message. Just shake it off your feet. Why? Because look what the next verse says. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the city or for the people that reject his words. See, I'm trying to get you ready for the wake-up call that you're going to experience when you stand before the king. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Tithing is Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Holiness is Jesus. Having a pastor and being faithful in a church is Jesus. Not running your mouth and walking in love and slandering people. That's Jesus. It is. So here's what the Lord showed me about this and how people fall away. Now, I'll never tell the exact details of this because I'm not in the business of bringing out certain names and things. That's not who Jesus is and how he does things. But I was in Florida and I was just seeking God. It's before a service, you know. I had about 45 minutes. I'm just pacing the floor and praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I saw myself in my spirit in three churches. Specific churches. I won't tell you where they are. If they're in South Dayton, Olean, in California, Florida, or Africa. I'm not going to tell you which ones they were, but I saw myself behind the pulpit, and I've only been in one, and I take that back, I haven't been in any of them. I've only seen one of them, and the other two I saw in the spirit, and I was behind their pulpit, and I was preaching. And Jesus said this to me. He said, because when he showed me these churches, on the outside, it looks like they have everything going on. They got the huge building. Rocking worship team. I mean, they got the programs and they got the crowds, the parking lots filled. And you would naturally think, my God, God's doing something in that church. And you know what Jesus said to me? It surprised the heck out of me. He showed me behind the pulpit of those churches, three of them, specific ones. I don't know why he used those three, but he did. Probably because in my mind, I had them built up that, wow, what are they doing? Let's do what they're doing. He said, Pastor Mike, this is an amazing word he gave me. He said, Pastor Mike, if I put you in those churches, you'll clean that place out. So he said to me, when he said that, I said, I took it as, oh my, well, Father, forgive me. I don't change me. I don't want that to be my reputation. He said, no. It's because you'll bring me into the church and that church doesn't have me in it. And then he went further and gave me examples. He said, Pastor Mike, stand up there and preach a series on healing in those churches and how it's God's will to heal every single time and sicknesses of the devil. He said, you'll watch people leave the church. If you become the pastor and preach that, people will leave the church. Say, really? They wanted to kill Jesus for healing people in the New Testament. The religious church people got mad at the message of healing. He said, and this is what he's telling me the whole time. He said, Pastor Mike, go ahead. Preach a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that speaking in tongues is of the New Testament, how important it is. And you watch how many people leave that church. Well, healing is him, tongues is him. And he's telling me, you go in there, and the exact words is, you will clean that place out. Why? Because I'm not there, he said. Well, he said, take it a step further. He said, go in there, preach your financial series. Preach on tithing and watch it dramatically drop off. Do you know that the majority of people that have left this church, the majority, not all of them, but the majority, have left because they're ticked off at the tithing message? I'm sorry, but tithing is Jesus, and I'm not leaving that part of him out.
Amen.
Amen. I won't. Won't do it. But he said, go ahead and preach it. Now see, here's what I do know about one of those churches that I've seen and been able to hear before. They don't talk about divine healing. They don't talk about tongues. And I've never heard the word tithe mentioned one time in one of their sermons. Doing a disservice to the hearers because they need to hear that, because when you go through the door of the tithe, there's blessings on the other end of it.
Amen. Amen.
He said, Pastor Mike, preach on faith in those churches and shatter that grace message that swept through this country a few years ago that tells people you can live however you want. He said, go preach on faith and how you live and what you do matters. And how you can believe is how you receive, not what God decides to just shower out of heaven on you. He said, go preach. He said, you'll see another large faction of the church split away and fall away. And it's the truth. You don't hear these things preached there.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, go ahead and preach a message on consecration and holiness. And watch people start accusing you of being legalistic and condemning when I'm just sharing what the Bible says. He said, take it a step further. Tell them how to raise their kids biblically. Oh, you'll stir them up then. I'm just telling you what the Lord showed me. And as I went back, and I think I have to get this from him to get it, you know, confirmed. I believe he showed me the one church that I know of, because I know exactly they're not preaching any of this stuff. Every Sunday, it's the feel-good, sweet Jesus that can just smooth over all your problems. No personal responsibility, no tongues, no casted out devils, no miracle signs and wonders, no how to raise your kids, no this is what you're supposed to do with your money, none of it. Well, when people don't get the word, they don't get what Jesus says you can have by the word. Why don't they preach that stuff? Because exactly what the Lord showed me, it'll clear the seats out. I guess I'm good at clearing churches out, I guess. But here's the thing. We have precedent in John chapter 6 that's the ministry of Jesus, is clearing it out.
Amen.
So don't sit there and say, well, Pastor, that's something wrong with you. No. If I bring Jesus to the party, people are going to leave. It's the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. So you have to understand that all these things that people get mad about, complain about, are just him. They're just him. They're just him. Tithing's just him. Being generous is just him. Walking in love is just him. Not backbiting and gossiping and causing strife and spreading strife. That's just him. Amen. It's all him. And the last one, I didn't mention this, and this is always a good one. Tell him how important it is to have a shepherd. And that God calls you to a shepherd. He doesn't call you to a church. He calls you to a shepherd. Is it true? Jesus didn't say sheep without a church. He said sheep without a shepherd. Now the shepherd operates in the church under the flock. But he said, tell them that. Stand up and tell them how they need a shepherd. How they can't just do this by themselves. Oh, you'll see a bunch of people leave. So he showed me. I'm just telling you, I wrote it down. God, I mean, I'm just reporting back to you. But Ephesians 2 and verse 20. I want to show you something here. and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ. Well, who's Jesus? The Word. Have we established that? Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So the Bible calls Jesus is the Word, it calls him the chief cornerstone. Well, what do you do with the chief cornerstone? You build upon the chief cornerstone. The Word is the chief cornerstone. And how many of you can say, my life has improved since I started doing the Word? Things have changed. Things came. Why? Because you started to build your life on the Word. He's the chief cornerstone. That's what is available to some. But he's not only the chief cornerstone to people. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. This was one of the most glorious weeks of my life and one of the most hardest weeks I've ever had in my life as a minister. And God is so good. He answered and helped me and gave me visions, showed me things. Hallelujah. Encouraged me through Reverend Randy's preaching. And oh, praise God. You know, remember the word Brother Kevin spoke over me? Remember the prophet of God said, Pastor, I admire the tenacity in you. And I'm not going to quit. But then he said, don't you care what anybody says about you ever. And I've just had to keep going back to that word. Going back to that word. He said, don't care about what... Do you remember when he yelled it in my ear? And then tackled me on the floor? I never told him. He gave me a brush burn on my ear. His suit hit me so hard. But I'm glad. I'll take it. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The word you build on it. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, what's he, the Word? He's precious. You that are doing the Word on tithing, it doesn't bother you. You that are doing the Word walking in love and not slandering, the Word doesn't bother you. He's precious to you. When I preach the Word, you don't get angry and mad. You love him. Walking in love, the whole Bible's him. You love it. He's precious unto you that believe. But unto them which are disobedient, woo! The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus is either the chief cornerstone and the Word you're going to build your life upon, or the Word is an absolute stumbling block and a rock of offense to people that are disobedient. The same Word that causes you to do it and be blessed is the same Word that ticks people off outside of these walls that don't do it, that trip up over the tithe. Oh, the tithe, that's so hard. Oh, walking in love, that's so hard. But you're like, bring it, Pastor. Tell me the Word. Help me. He's either the cornerstone for building or he will trip you up. That's his ministry. Praise God. Which one is he going to be to you? Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I only know one way to do this, and that's preach the Bible. That's all I know. When the Lord told me that I'd be a pastor, before shocking the heck out of me, and didn't thinking I was worthy of it, he had to renew my mind there came a relief because... How many colleges and jobs did I chase after trying to find my comfort place in life, and nothing ever fit for me. No college, no anything I was chasing after. It was always left me empty and feeling like, what is my purpose? And when he told me my purpose, I was like, finally, I know what I'm supposed to do. And so all I know in this life is to preach God's Word. That's it. That's all I know, is to preach from this manual and to not back off from it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee, this is Paul talking to Timothy, a pastor, a young minister. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word. Amen. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, don't be afraid of their faces. Because sometimes you preach the Word and people look at you funny and they shoot daggers at you and they're not happy with the Word of God. Amen? Preach the Word. The front to the back.
Amen.
And again, when he showed me that, I'm looking at a church who's got it naturally, and to the eyeballs, looks like they're hanging the moon. But the Word is not being preached. He's not just the Word on victory. He's the Word on tongues. He's the Word on what to do with your money. He's the Word on holiness and consecrating and putting your body down and not looking at certain things and going certain places and actually submitting your body as a holy sacrifice. That's Him too. But it's not popular for people to hear that part of it. And pastors are so fearful and are so gripped by fear that if I say these things, it's going to empty my seats out. I could give a rip about empty seats. I started a church in South Dayton, for crying out loud. With me, with her, and with Caleb in her belly, I'm not worried about people. I'm worried about being faithful to what He's called me to do. If you want to come along for the ride, come on. But if you don't, go. I want to let you know, we do lock the outside of the doors, but the inside of the doors, all you got to do is push that thing and open. You don't have to stay here. Nobody's telling you have to be at my church.
Amen.
The door is right there. In fact, I'll have an usher open it for you.
Amen.
I don't care. I'm going to drive the bus, and the bus is the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, that's the way we're going. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering, long-suffering, and doctrine. For the time will come, and man, we are there, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. What's that mean? At one point they had their ears turned towards the truth.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember, people followed Jesus and all He did was preach the Word. And then at some point they just, boop, vanished. Ladies and gentlemen, don't get alarmed. This is the ministry of Jesus. Don't get alarmed when someone's been faithful for a year, 2 years, and then bam, they're gone. Where'd they go? Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. Paul said people will turn away from the truth. Don't get alarmed. You just keep judging things by the Word of God. Amen? Now, to end this message, so we see the way of Jesus is not popular. The way of Jesus is a stumbling block. The way of Jesus is the narrow way, is the way that a lot of people aren't going. I think it's safe to just do what He did. But I want to show you this now. If you're going to say, okay, you know what? I like this. I like the boldness of my pastor. He's going the way of the Word. And I dare you to find anything that I've preached. You go back and listen to any archive. I dare you to find something I said that was not in that Word over and over again. Say, Pastor, are you bragging? No, I'm telling you how much of a loser I am personally, and I just cling to this thing. If I come to you and say, yeah, you know, every time I change my lawnmower, the manual says, every time I change my lawnmower, the manual says to add this amount of oil in it and this kind of oil in it, and I come to you, you don't look at me and say, my gosh, you're a know-it-all. You little pride bag. No, you're going to say, yeah, he's following the manual. Big deal. So when I tell you, I dare you to find something outside the Word of God, I dare you. Because all the accusations and all the slander and all the accusing, they don't bring Scripture to the fight. They never bring Scripture to the fight, and they don't want to talk about Scripture. Because it becomes unreasonable and they don't want it then. But I dare you to find one thing that I've said. Go back and look. That was not in the Word of God, because I only know the manual. I only put a certain kind of oil and a certain amount of oil in my lawnmower because that's what the manual says to do. Not because I'm some smarty know-it-all. I'm telling you, I'm leaning on the manual. Now here's what you need to know. If you say, I want the Word. I want the way of Jesus. I don't want to compromise. I want to go His way. You know, when Jesus said to the disciples, will you turn away? Peter was smart and he said, we didn't look at that next verse, but Peter said, Lord, where would we go? You're the Word. Why would we leave the Word? That's what he said. But here's what you need to know. If you're going to be a person of the Word and you're going to be a person that's going to go the way of the Word, you have to know that persecution's coming. That it comes with persecution. It's not daisies and it's not roses. In fact, at times it puts targets on you, but I want to be faithful to Him. And if I be faithful to Him, I will walk in abundant life on this earth. And I'm walking in abundant life on this earth. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Luke 4 and verse 28. Look at this now. If they persecuted Jesus, guess what? They're going to persecute you.
Right.
Luke 4 and verse 28. We're going to get all this out today. It won't be too much longer, but we're going to get it out. Luke 4 and verse 28. And they, all they in the synagogue, there are the churchgoers again. When they heard these things, well, what are they hearing if Jesus is preaching? What are they hearing?
The Word.
When they heard the Word, they were filled with wrath. Do you see what the Word, the true Word, can do to people? To church people. Amen.
Amen.
Filled with wrath. And they rose up, verse 29, and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Pastor Mike's translation for 2018, they wanted to chuck him off a cliff. Who? Jesus Christ. The most perfect, humble, sweet, caring, compassionate man that's ever walked the face of this earth. And all he did was share the Word, which the Bible says is perfect, and the Word rubbed them the wrong way, and they wanted to throw him off the cliff because of the Word. Woo-hoo. Churchgoers. What did Judas do to him? What did Peter do to him? The Son of God, for preaching the Word, was mocked and spit on because he declared boldly the things of the Word and the religious people. It tripped him up so bad. He was such a stumbling block of offense to them, they wanted to kill him. And they spit on him and they cursed at him. And they beat him to a pulp for doing what? Preaching the Word. That's all he did. But we get shocked when so-and-so, who's been faithful, all of a sudden disappears. We start wondering, why? Why? Because the Word does that to people, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 15 and verse 18. You got to know this stuff. Because this, if you're going to be a part of this church, you need to know. I'm just casting the vision right now. We're going to be Word and Spirit. We're not backing off, no matter what. John chapter 15 and verse 18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus was hated, and who was he? Perfect. He's wonderful. If you were of the world, verse 19, the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now here we go. Remember the word I said, Jesus said in verse 20. So I guess you better remember this. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Persecution's coming. You want the daisies and the roses? Go ahead. Go somewhere where they never talk about the Word of God. They don't need to stir up any. Devils don't need to stir up in those places. They don't. There's no threat. The threat to the devil is a Christian that does the Word. That's a threat to the devil.
Amen.
Amen. It's just truth. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I had somebody threaten me. I drove almost an hour to their home because they'd gotten offended. I just wanted to tell them I love them and say, hey, let's just look at the Bible. You know, my heart is, sometimes I think it's almost too much of trying to help people because I get myself into pickle sometimes by being too caring. I should just leave things alone at times, but I just love people, you know. And I had a man threaten me on his property who a week prior had sent me 5 text messages in one day telling me how wonderful I was and changed his whole family. But I preached and showed something in the Word that came through Brother Hagin's book, and then I confirmed it, about a husband not being dominant over his wife and not being a Hitler and a dictator in their home, that the wife and the husband are heirs together for the grace of God, and submission does not mean dictatorship. But because that's how he was, the Word rubbed him the wrong way, and he went from I'm up here to I'm down here, and he physically threatened me on his property, and the Spirit of God told me, get out of here now. I did. Oh, man, I'm not not trying to act tough or be tough. I mean, you see me. This is what I got right here. There's no secret karate skills or some black belt that I got that's, you know, this is what you see is what you get. I mean, that's the muscles. That's all there is. Amen. Hallelujah. I left. I said, thank you, Jesus. I like to stay alive. But what's the point? The word tripped them up. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you which men shall revile or revel you and persecute you. Now look at this. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, verse 12 says, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. But go back to verse 11. Speak against you falsely. Anybody ever had somebody say things about you that were absolutely not true? Isn't it amazing that now, this day and age, anybody can say anything they want? Anybody can throw any accusation they want. We can put anything we want on social media. No evidence, no proof, no backing, and you can say whatever you want in this day and age. Isn't it amazing? It's sad. It's sad. It's hurtful stuff. Glory to God. I'm going to show you something here in a second about that. We'll go back to that in a second. Go to Matthew 10 and verse 34. Let me address something here. Praise God. Let me show you a truth here that Jesus said. I didn't say it. Jesus did. Jesus says, think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. Doesn't mean he doesn't want peace on the earth. He doesn't mean he doesn't want peace, but he's saying what I'm bringing is not going to bring peace. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, listen to this. He said, I've come to send a sword. Well, what does a sword do? Cuts. What does a sword do? Divides. What does a sword do? Separates. Well, what's the sword he's talking about? Remember over there in Ephesians 6? He says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus said this is a sword. We've already seen that it divides people, separates people. Well, look what the Bible says. Verse 35, so he said, I've come to bring the sword, which is the Word. He said, I've come to set man at variance or at difference with his own father. Jesus said that. Amen. That a son and a dad will be split and separated because of the sword. And look what he goes on to say. And the daughter against her mother. Woo! And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And look at verse 36. And a man's foes or enemies will be that of his own household. Ladies and gentlemen, if you choose to go the way of the Word of God, it is going to rub people the wrong way, even some of the closest people to you. If you decide to go the way of the Bible, do not be shocked when they don't want to go that way and it divides you from them. Pastor's not preaching a message of division. If I just bring the word, division will happen. How many of you can say that you've been persecuted by friends, family members, co-workers for simply believing in the Word of God? Oh man. Both hands in, both feet, all toes. Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. I have friends that I was so close with in high school that I'd be glad to get together with them and have a meal. I'd be glad to invite them over to my house. But see, they don't want to fellowship with me anymore because I won't do the things that I used to do. Yeah. I'm sorry, I won't go to a bar anymore. I'm sorry, I won't speak and talk like I used to and do the things that I used to and put things in my body. That doesn't mean that I'm standing over top of you and saying, I'm a highfalutin Christian and you're a worthless scum of the earth. Just because I choose Jesus over people and way they're going. I'm not saying forsake people, but you don't go the direction they're going. If I have a friend that says, oh, we're only going to be friends if you'll go to the bar with me. I'm sorry, we're cutting our ties then. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm going the way of the Word. And Jesus said, the way of the Word will bring division. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen it with family members. I have cousins that won't have anything to do with me. And I was so close with them back when I was running to the bars. Back when I was getting hammered every week. And back when I was just sitting around doing nothing but drinking and playing video games and being lazy. And they all loved me then. But now I love Jesus. And I can't do that stuff anymore. And so what happens? I didn't forsake them. I'd love to get together with them. I'd love to spend time with them, but they don't want anything to do with me. Amen. That's what Jesus said. A man's foes will be that of his own household. Don't be surprised when you go the way of the word that people around you aren't going to like it, not going to want it. The true way of the word. People bring accusation against me, try to separate families, and that's bull crap. That was the second time I've ever said that preach. I said that once when I was in Pillars of God, and Pastor Tim brings that up. That's probably not the right word to say. Again, now people walk out here and say, I'm a cusser from the pulpit. If that word offends you, I apologize sincerely from my heart, but that's the way I feel. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Amen? I don't know. I'm waiting until I tell Pastor Tim, Pastor, I did it again. Said it again. I did it when I'm time in Pillars of God, and he said, remember the time you said this from the pulpit? I said, yeah. Well, that was the second time. And again, I'm not trying to glorify that kind of talk or anything like that. But that's the way I feel. It's garbage. It is garbage. Hallelujah. And let me just tell you right now, if you leave this church because of that, you are crazy. Pastor's not perfect. I don't know if you knew that or not. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So those closest to you, I've seen it. I've seen it. But what way do you want to go? Do you want to go the way of the Bible? And so, remember Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 5, he said that they'll speak falsely against you. And you can say, you've had that happen. You've had that happen to me. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you do about times like that when they say things that are, I mean, they just pull things from my past, try to bring it to my future. I mean, the tree that people go barking up is so foolish. What's pastor doing with the money of the church? Pastor's stealing the money of the church. That's such a dumb tree to go barking up. We have it so tightly set up from a lawyer firm down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, named Winters and King, who specialize in setting up churches in bylaws. And we have it set up that in there in the bylaws that I don't touch my salary. I have nothing to do with salaries or promotions. That all the money and all the expenditures have to go by a board that governs my spending. But yet people can just say that stuff. And just say it to anybody and put thoughts in people's heads. Well, they can say anything they want. Amen. It's true. They can. What have I never shied away from? Gambling, drugs, alcohol, depression, and promiscuous living. When I was not a Christian, and they try to bring that to now. Oh, he's unfaithful. He's unfaithful. I hear it over and over, the same garbage and lies, and they're just lies. No proof, nothing at all, but people can just pull anything they want and say it. So I said, Jesus, what do you do in situations like this? He said, and he showed me. He told me a scripture. I didn't know where it was. I went and looked it up. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. This is how you're going to know. And this is what you're going to rest in too for your own self when people talk about you. Because if you go around trying to put out every fire and trying to... First of all, people that are slandering you and saying stuff, they're not coming from a reasonable platform anyways. They're coming from a place of just trying to tear you down. You can't talk to that. Matthew 7 and verse 20, this is what Jesus said. Because when you hear things and there's rumors getting started, the natural, I'm just going to tell you as a human being, the natural instinct of a pastor is, oh my God, what if the sheep hear it? And what if it sways the sheep? The sheep, the pastor's so protective of the sheep. Yeah. Amen? Amen? As the pastor, you want the sheep to be blessed and protected. And you hear these things and you hear rumors and stuff or other people talking in the church about other people in the church. And your thought is, well, man, are they going to swear? Are people carnal enough to be swayed in certain ways? And Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits shall you know them. You'll know who a person truly is by the fruit on that tree. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, if you're walking in an orchard with somebody and you look over and see an apple tree filled with beautiful, huge, just red, juicy apples, and someone walking with you says, look at that orange tree. You don't say, yeah, that is an orange tree. No, you say, what are you talking about? I only see apples. And when people slander you, and people run their mouth about you, what's the fruit of the person that's being slandered? What's the fruit of the person? There are people in this room right now that would do anything for me. There are people that will run through a stinking wall, or as Reverend Randy Greer says, run through a troop and then run through a wall. There are people in here that would follow me into the pit of hell to fight the devil. I know it. That would give their life for me and I'd give their life for them. That would trust their life with me and I'd trust my life with their life. Amen. It's just true. But also, there's people outside of these walls that hate my guts. So what's the difference then? Because the reason you'll do that for me is because you know my fruits. You know I've been there in every situation you've needed me. You know I've prayed for you. You know I've stood up here and given the word. You know I've returned the text messages, spent hours with you on the phone, visited you, been there when you needed it. You know the fruits on the tree. You see it. So what's the difference with the people outside that can't stand it? Did I pastor them different? Was I mean to them? Was I unreasonable to them? Or, by chance, is there a chance that the Bible is actually true, that people can actually get ticked off at the Word and not like the Word because it happened over and over and over and over again to Jesus? And so the Lord told me this. He said, don't worry about it. Just rest. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 57, verse 14, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment will be condemned. So Paul said, real quick, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be closing here in a second. And so the Lord told me, and he told me to tell you, when people slander you and falsely accuse you and say bad things about you, just rest in it. Your fruit is evident. What's the fruit of the slanderer? I say, what, Pastor? I said, what's the fruit? Does anybody ever stop to consider the fruit of the one getting tore down versus the fruit of the one tearing down? You say, Pastor, what do you... I'm just telling you, Jesus said you'll know people. If you want to truly know how people are, look at the fruit. That's all you have to do. Look at the fruit. Is the fruit filled with crisis and chaos and confusion all the time and all these turmoil? Is that the fruit? Again, Jesus said you'll know them. You want to know who people are, just look at the fruits. Say, Pastor, and people will twist it. Oh, you're terrible. That's so mean. No, I'm just telling you. Jesus said you'll know by the fruits. Well, what's the fruits you have me in your life? It's been nothing but good. It's nothing but showing up here with an attitude of faith and joy and a smile on my face. And every time you've been in a situation and you've needed me, I've been there. Amen. And if I haven't, it's because I didn't know about it. Listen, you have to understand, God only shows me what he shows me. Don't expect me to pick up all your problems and know everything you're going through. You got to open your mouth at times and let me know. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's get ready to get this thing over with. Oh, Timothy, where are you? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly or their error shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs was. Now look what Paul said, because he's talking about being criticized, being attacked. He says in verse 10, and you just rested this. But you have fully known my doctrine. You know what Pastor Mike preaches. You know I'm not twisting the scriptures. You know I'm showing you over and over again the Word of God. You have known my doctrine, what did Paul say? You've known my manner of life, how I live, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, and my patience. Paul's saying, listen, I ain't worried about all that. You'll know me by my fruits. Amen. And you just keep walking in integrity, and you keep walking in your character, and you let the scoffers scoff, and you let the mockers mock. But you just keep doing the word, and keep staying with Jesus, and you'll come out on the other end victorious. It's the truth. Romans 1 and verse 16, and then we'll close on this scripture, and I'm going to make a declaration right now. Woo! So it's time to make a choice and a decision. Everybody here, listening by live stream, what do you want going forward? Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not changing. I'm not going to stop talking about money. I'm not going to stop talking about holiness. I'm not going to stop talking about telling you what to do with your kids, because that's the Bible and that's Him. And Paul said this in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Who's Christ? Not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Christ is the whole Word. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not going to stop preaching this, because this is your answer in every area of your life. And let's do the loving thing. Like we talked about last week with strife. When people start talking and backbiting, go to the source. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't let anything pull you away from where you know what all comes down to? Just check your heart. Yeah. If you're not supposed to be here, Lord will tell you. Yeah. If Pastor Mike is some money swindler and some wrong lover, the Lord will tell you to get out of my church. He don't want you here. Yeah. Because there's plenty of churches close enough. Pastor Michael's church is a great one. Pastor Tim's church is a great one. Pastor Jeff and Mabel's a great one. You can go somewhere, Pastor Ray over in Wellsville. You can drive to find a good church. Check your heart. Find out. And if the Lord tells you to go, sign our abide. I wish you the best. I want you to obey God. Not everybody's going to be called here. But it's just as simple as praying and Lord, He'll tell you. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm going to keep preaching it and preaching it, and this church is going to keep going with it, and we're not going to back off it ever. I don't care. These empty seats don't scare me. Those empty seats over there don't scare me. The empty seats over there don't scare me. I don't care. Jesus got down to 12. He didn't give a rip. And He changed the world with those 12. You're either with me or you're not with me. But I'm with the Word, and so you're either with the Word or you're not with the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. So this is a heavy message. It was heavy, but it needed to be said. And people need to make a decision for their own life what they're going to do. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. We're so grateful and thankful. Father, You saved me from the pit of hell. I will never back off from telling people the truth. I will never back down in the face of opposition, in the face of criticism, in the face of strife, in the face of tests and adversity. I will not back down. I will preach the Word, Father. And I will continue to walk in integrity and walk in character, Father. And Lord, I believe that we have people that are like that, that want the way of the Word, that want the way of integrity, that want the way of character. And Father, as we continue to do it, Lord, oh, yes, 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 yes. I'm reminded, Father. Woo-hoo! Okay, open your eyes real quick. Let me just say this. David said this concerning the Lord. He said, I'll prepare a table. I will prepare a table before You. What's a table? A table's where you sit down and partake of what God has, where you enjoy the blessings. He said, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of what? Enemies. Your enemies. Right. While your enemies are scoffing and mocking and coming against you, you're going to be sitting there enjoying the blessings of God. And I believe God did it so He can say, hey, watch this. Watch them thrive and watch them succeed and watch their children be healthy and watch the blessings flow in their life while you can stand on the outside. Right. Woo-hoo-hoo. I remember Pastor Nancy say this. It's kind of like the team that's winning, you know. They're what, by 3-4 touchdowns and there's a minute left. And they're over on the other sideline just to celebrating, dancing and high-fiving. And the other team is forced to stand there and watch. The ones that go the way of the Word are going to sit there and celebrate and enjoy the blessings that God has while everybody around is going to scoff and watch and they're going to look on with envy. Right. He said, in the presence of the very ones that hate you, I want you to enjoy life. Amen. Just so they can watch. Praise God. Ooh, just so they can watch. Did anybody see the Saints in the Vikings game last week? Did you see that crazy ending? But the Saints, they had to come back out on the field to kick that extra point by rules. And remember, the Saints players run out the field, and the quarterback, Case Keenum, was out there doing the skull chant, doing this, and the whole stadium's doing this while the Saints are running back out. I mean, they are just having to experience victory right in their face. The whole crowd's chanting, they're running back out. They have no chance of winning. They're just running out for an extra point just to do it. And I'm thinking, my gosh, that must sting. Yeah. And oh, it's going to sting for people. Yeah. When we keep going forward with God. Yeah. And if they don't get on board with God, it won't work out for them, because that's the only promise we have. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you today. We praise you. And we magnify you. We glorify you. Thank you for your mercy and for your goodness. Hallelujah. Now I want to just say this. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's somebody in here and you got unforgiveness in your heart, there's somebody in here, you're such a talker, you know, you're just always spreading things and always talking and posting things and trying to get in other people's ears. That's just wrong. There's no other way to look at it. It's just not how Jesus is. Even when somebody's wrong, that's not what we do. We don't talk about it to other people. We don't post it. We don't say things. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. If you're someone here and you need, and you're walking on that ground, that's dangerous ground. You need to repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. See, there's always an opportunity for a fresh start for somebody. God is a merciful God. Amen? If you're here and you've been a backbiter, a gossiper, a slanderer, you hear something, you don't even know if it's true, but it just sounds good for your agenda and your cause, and you just spread it. If you're someone like that, just ask God to forgive you and tell him you won't do it anymore, and you need to repent to the people you've done it to. And ask them to forgive you. That's what godliness is. And that's what a heart of Jesus would do. Hallelujah. There's an anointing for that right now to get right with God. This is an opportunity that he's laying at your door to get right with him. Every single thing that was said here today was by the word. Every single thing. It's time to get right with heaven. It's time to not be like the world and act like the world, but act like Jesus did, which was love and mercy. You stay with him and you don't go the way and you don't compromise, but you love and you love people and you're merciful to people. Well, God's mercy is here this morning. Hallelujah. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I've never done this before. I just feel the unction to do it. I think of me for people to make a true commitment. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody look around. If you're somebody that needs to repent for that kind of a life, would you just slip your hand up in the air right now? Anybody at all in this place? I see those hands. You can put them down. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you. I mean, yeah. Anybody else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're just trying to get right with God here. I'm not going to tell who did and who didn't. Listen, I've been in this category before, man. I know. Anybody else, while repentance is available, you want to get right with God this morning. Stop spreading stuff. Stop saying stuff. Stop being a rumor teller. Anybody else here before we close? I see those hands. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, praise God. People have such good hearts around here. Again, I'm telling you as your pastor, I've been a part of this club before. I know. I endeavor not to do it now as best I can, and I correct it when I do, and I catch myself slandering or talking bad about somebody or gossiping. I try to catch myself right away and stop it. But anybody else, it's just something in your heart that you say, I know he's talking about me, and I just want to get this right before God and make a commitment. You know, that's what the raising of the hand is. It's just you being real committed to it. Anybody else before we close? Just slip your hand up in the air. And anybody else before we close this morning? I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you for your boldness. Hallelujah. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, I just think, I believe we have some true hearts in here, Father. Now, if you're someone in here and you didn't raise your hand, maybe you're shy, you say, I don't want pastor to know about this. That's okay. The mercy's still there. I appreciate the boldness of people that raise their hands, and I don't think anything of it. I just know that's how we get sometimes. Things can happen, but there's mercy for it. So right now, everybody, and we're going to give a chance for people to get saved here in a second. Right now, everybody, raise your hand, or you know you should have, even along with everybody else in the church with heads bowed and eyes closed, just say this. Say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me for spreading false things, talking about people behind their back, being a busybody, being a gossiper, for just plain walking out of love. Forgive me now, and I endeavor to go forth in a new way. And I thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, and if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know that you'd go to heaven if you passed away today, or if Jesus came back today, if you don't know you'd go with him, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, all you have to do is call on his name and believe in him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in this service under the sound of my voice that's never received Jesus? Would you just lift your hand in the air if you've never received him? Anybody at all that wants to receive him today, we won't embarrass you. Have come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. Anybody want to receive Jesus that never has before? Hallelujah. Father, I don't see any hands in here. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. We do have a hand. Glory to God. Anybody else want to receive Jesus for the first time? Just lift your hand high in the air. Well, I don't see any other hands. If you're listening by live stream, you can get on this. Now listen up. For that person that raised their hand, this is important. This is your opportunity to receive Jesus into your heart. To ask him to come into your heart. So all you have to do is ask him now. So we're going to pray a prayer. And if you raise your hand, you repeat this after me. Everybody say this along with that person that raised their hand. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
you died on the cross for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, little Jazzy got born again today. Hallelujah. I guess I'll see you in heaven. It's going to be fun up there. It's like Disney World on steroids. That's what heaven's like. I told you. Well, God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Don't forget all those goodies over there in the fellowship hall. We have service Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed.
And shall be. I'm expecting.